Good evening. It's evening right here from the city of Liverpool. 8 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. No guilt in life, no fear of death, no power of hell, no principality can separate us indeed from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's actually a great honor and privilege once again as family for us to commune together, for us to come together once again and break bread. You know, one of the things the early church, they did, they were going from house to house. They were having fellowship. They were sharing meals. They were having communion. They were doing what Jesus said they should do in remembrance of him. It's awesome. You know, I was wondering, you know, I have a way of trying to think and be real, and I ask some very, very sincere questions from my heart, you know, and some of the commentaries that come to my mind also can be funny, because I was wondering, the Bible said in the Acts of the Apostles that they did this daily, and I used to think those early, you know, church, the disciples, they must be jobless. How come they go from house to house, breaking bread? But you know what? Do you know, in reality, that's what we're doing through the power of technology today. Going from my house to your house, you know, even on the street. I know someone who joins the services while cycling home, listening, of course, with, you know, an AirPod. You know, it's just awesome that the things we read in the Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, literally, we are acting them right now as 21st century apostles. And also, maybe there's someone, you stumbled on this broadcast, I want to welcome you. What are we doing tonight? We will be taking communion together. I will just be bringing us a word I received. But then, what do we need to take communion together, like the announcer said before? Just try to grab yourself something that reminds you of the blood of Jesus. I've got Ribena here, you know, and you know the color, the blood, color of the blood. And then I've got some, you know, unleavened bread. You can get some cracker biscuits. Just get something symbolic of that body and the blood of Jesus. Why are we doing it? Because Jesus said we should do it. Why are we doing it? Because that body of Jesus, I'm telling you, every time we come to this communion, it's a liberating time for me. It's a time for me to know that my sins can be forgiven if I'm ready to confess my sins. I'm ready to receive cleansing, because the blood of Jesus was actually shed so that my sins will be forgiven. Now, the body of Jesus was broken, battered, bruised, so that all my sins, all my iniquities was laid upon that body. And when blood was shed, was spilled, his blood is symbolic of my sins being washed away. So when we do this, we are doing that, reminding ourselves that this is what Jesus did, this is the price he paid, and I am forgiven. So sit back tonight and get ready, because your sins are forgiven. And when you are forgiven, you are healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the psalmist said in Psalm 103. Said, don't forget the benefits. What are the benefits? He forgives every iniquity and heals every disease. So tonight, receive that forgiveness and receive healing. And I will be sharing with us tonight what came to me in form of a question. And I will share that question with us tonight. I want to, you know, rejoice and celebrate with everyone, because today is going to be a liberating service for you. And the question, and I would like you to write this down: why did I fail? We have a word we are running with throughout this month of September, And you know what? Today is the first day in September. And we've got how many months left in the year? September, October, November, December, last quarter of the year. And I know one thing, God always saves the best for the last. When all hope is lost, when you've given up, when is the darkest part of the night, nighttime symbolic trials, temptations, tribulations, when we are not seeing our expectations, when the night is the darkest, that's when light breaks forth. You have been weeping. Weeping may endure for a night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. So, what is the theme we're running with this month? Overcoming the fear of failure. Overcoming the fear of failure. You don't want to miss any of the studies we'll be having. You don't want to miss any of the services on Sunday. Overcoming the fear of failure. And I believe God has prepared us for this time because we looked throughout August on what to do when I don't know what to do. And usually we fail because we don't do what we ought to do. That's actually one of the major reasons why we fail. So tonight, just join me as we pray. And Father, I just thank you. I know nothing, I am empty. I receive personal cleansing of all my sins, whatever I've said, whatever I've done that I shouldn't do, whatever I ought to have done but I left undone, whatever I've thought that I shouldn't think, because even the thought itself is where the act begins from. And you said, even if a man, Lord Jesus, you said, if a man even just looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery. So cleanse every thought of our hearts, of my heart, of everyone watching. And Father, as you cleanse and purify our hearts, I pray, pour out your spirit again and speak to us your word that will heal and liberate us tonight. We've come to that table, the communion table. We've come to sup with you. We open our hearts. Lord, come and sup with us and liberate every one of us. And let the simplicity of your word be confirmed with signs following, with healing, with deliverances. And I pray as I hear you, Lord, as I hear you, I shall speak tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is a story. An account of something that happened to the disciples of Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Matthew and chapter 17, and the story commences from verse 14. So if we read Matthew, chapter 17, and let's just follow through with this story. Now, as I read this story, I want you to think about a time you have failed in life. You did something, you failed, you attempted, you were not successful. And life has a way of even reminding us of our failures. Some of us are wearing badges of failures. Some of us have testimonials, living testimonials of something that reminds us of where we failed. Of how we failed on some moral failings or some, unsuccessful attempts. Some of us have the scars of failure. So I want you to have that at the back of your mind as we proceed and read this story. Tonight, we might share a bit of one or two stories. And guess what? We will be liberated. You will be liberated. We will go to the communion table. We will arise from that table. We will know what we ought to do. And we will overcome not just failure, but the fear of failure itself. So come with me as we read Matthew chapter 17 from verse 14. Now, these are the disciples of Jesus. They were in a place and a man came to them. So let's look at the story in context. So I read from the New King James Version that is appearing on your screen. And by the way, if you've not liked, shared, remind someone, get them to sit down and join this communion service and healing tonight. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, I read, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him. Him there is Jesus, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples that they could not cure him. Let's stop there for now. What do you think happened there? A man brings a sick son to the disciples of Jesus who had walked with Jesus, who had seen Jesus heal the sick, even raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And there was a time prior to this that Jesus gave power to these same disciples and he sent them out two by two. And you know what happened? They went. And Jesus said, I've given you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions. I've given you power, go into the cities. Any house you enter, pray, speak your peace over it, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. The Bible says these same disciples, they went out. They were so excited at the signs, the wonders, the power they were exhibiting as they raised the dead, you know, as they cleansed lepers, as they healed the sick. They prayed, they saw signs, they came back. They were excited. And they had told Jesus, wow, we have seen wonders. We have seen what has happened. You know, how these things, how people were cleansed, how the sick were healed. You know, they were excited. But Jesus told them something, look, beyond the excitement, beyond you raising the dead, you know, cleansing lepers, praying for the sick, there's something that's more important. You should rejoice that your names are written in the book of life, not just at the miracles. Well, Jesus had prepped them, okay? Thank you very much. We see that account in Luke chapter 10. And also in Matthew chapter 10 is when, you know, he had sent them out. Because when we're reading the Bible in the chronological order, the verse 10 showed that they were given power. They went and exhibited the power, and they saw power been literally happening, people being healed. And then all of a sudden, 17th chapter, chapters later of that same Matthew, the disciples could not cure a boy. That was a failing, people. The disciples failed there. And you know the emotions we go through. You're confident, you've done something, you've seen it happen, and then all of a sudden you fail. You know, I remember I met someone who shared with me that they've never experienced failure in life. They were brought up primary school, secondary school. They were doing really awesome. You know, getting all the good grades, got into university, continued with a streak of success. And then they got to this very crucial exam in medical school, and for the first time tasted failure. And I asked this person, so what was the reaction? So I was shattered, I was broken, my confidence went, because they had never tasted failure before. You see, this Matthew chapter 17 was the disciples of Jesus tasting failure. I want to debunk some things about failure tonight. You see, where the theme is, we're overcoming the fear of failure. The fear of failure, not just failure itself. You know, failure itself is an event, but excuse me, even the fear of it The event has not happened, but we fear it. And most times in life, it's not the event that kills us. It's the fear of what if this event happens. So let's deal with failure first, okay? And then we'll address the fear of failure. Because the moment we fail, it usually puts fear in us. And as a result of failure, fears begin to grow in us. The more we think about how we failed, when we failed, the more we lose confidence, the more fear grows, and the more we fear, the more what we fear happens. I'm telling you, and you can testify also. I can tell you stories of my life where I have failed several times, and fear gripped me, fear creeps in. Now, I tried to go check, what is the meaning of failure? Failure is a lack of success. It's as simple as that. You attempt something and you don't succeed. Some things ordinarily that you will expect that, yes, you've done everything you need to do, and then you fail, you don't succeed. So that's just what it is, you know, simply put, failure. So as a result of us making attempts and not succeeding, we begin to have the fear itself of attempting, doing something, and not succeeding. So look at this. These disciples had been succeeding at praying for the sick and healing the sick, and then they failed. We see that same account in the book of Mark, chapter 9, same from verse 14 to verse 29, the same story. But you see, there's something I want us to see in that Mark's account of the same story. One thing that happens when we fail, failure is an event. And let us debunk failure tonight. Let me first of all share with us some nuggets about failure while meditating on failure itself. Listen, failing, right, is when we don't succeed. So when we don't succeed, that's a failure. It is integral part of life. Failing or failure is part of life. Life will never throw 100% success at us. Do you realize? Let me share some, deep things that were occurring to me while we're meditating today. Do you realize that you are here, you and I, on this earth because of failure? Oh, what failure are you asking? Some people failed. That's why you could be here. You see, when the seed of a man is introduced, into a woman, and a little bit of biology here, and I know we have young children also, so just understand the reason why you were born is because you are the one who got the success while others failed. You are here on this earth as a result of failure, others failing. If they didn't fail and you succeeded in fertilizing your mother's egg, you will not be conceived. You will not be born. Failure is part of life. So if there were no failings, you wouldn't be here. That's number one. Now, do you know also that every one of us, at one point in our lives, we have failed. We have failed. Others have failed. We have failed. Think back at your life. If the mistake is that when we are bringing up children, or some of us were brought up with the mindset that failure was a bad thing. that failure is inexcusable. That failure, no, you can't fail. You must not fail. You shouldn't fail. In life, you must always succeed. Do you know what even Jesus said? In this life, we are going to have tribulations, trials. Things are coming to try us. And when these trials come, some of us break down, some of us fail, some of us give up. But he said, be of good cheer. When these things happen, when these trials happen, he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, I have made this world, I've done some things, I've put some parameters in place so that anytime you fail, you can rise up again. Do you know what the Bible says even about a righteous man? A righteous man. He says the righteous, sorry, I didn't send the scripture to the media team, but if they can find it, I know I've got some wonderful people in our media production team. They will dig out scriptures like that. He said, a righteous man, he will fall 7 times. Listen, a righteous man, right, fall 7 times. He didn't say an unrighteous man. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times. 7 times. He did not say an unrighteous man will fall. You see, the New King James says may fall, but the King James actually say a righteous man falls. Failing is part of life. Everyone fails. Don't bring up children with giving them the impression. Some of us were brought up in a way that if you failed, you are in trouble. The kind of beating, whether with rod, with the mouth you will receive, will even make you start doubting yourself, doubting your abilities, and makes you lose confidence. A just man falls 7 times. But you know what? He rises up again. You see, it will have been, what's the word I want to use now? It will have been what we're saying now, the truth about failure, will have not been the truth that everybody fails. If this scripture in Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, a just man will rise, a just man will keep rising. But listen, he will fall first before he rises. Hey, have you seen a child walking? Do you know that even you listening to me, you didn't start walking in one day? You rose up and you fell. You failed. You attempted to walk. You failed. But then you rose up and one day you kept walking. Failure is part of life. Never teach a child that they must not fail and they should not fail. You know, I was trying to get some facts about, you know, the man who invented the light bulb. What's his name again? Sorry, help me in the studio here.
Thomas Edison,
you know. There's been some stories about the man, how he invented the light bulb. But beyond the light bulb, okay, before he got to even becoming an inventor, you know, do you know the story about him? When he was in school, his teachers told him that he will never succeed in life. They told him he was dumb, dull, he wasn't intelligent. Imagine you go to school, the people who are meant to be teaching you are giving up on you. He was told in school that no, he was a failure. He would never amount to anything in life. He left school. Listen to this. The first 2 jobs he ever got, he was fired. He was sacked. So imagine you're coming on the backdrop of being told you will not amount to anything, succeed, you will not succeed in life. You are too dumb. And then maybe you even try to prove people wrong. You try to get a job, he gets a job, you get fired on the first one. You get another one, you get fired on the second one. That was the man who went on to invent the light bulb. But then the story behind the light bulb also was that he failed. He failed almost 1,000 times trying to figure out how to, you know, invent a light bulb. So, you know, I was curious. I was telling my wife that, you know, what was this man's secret? He was given up on from school. He gets a job. He fails at the job. How come? What's this man's? And I found that it was his attitude. What was his attitude? Whenever they told him, you are failed, you are a failure, he will say, no, I'm only learning how not to do what I'm trying to do. So I will try and figure out, one, how not to do and what I'm doing wrong. And then I will, and he kept experimenting until like 1,000 times, and then he invented the light bulb. You are seeing me today because that man found out the secret. He failed, but he said his perspective on failure. So we need to redefine failure, people. Number one, you are here, you and I are here because somebody failed, others failed. You are here in life because you have failed at doing some things. Failure should not be what defines you. Failure is part of life. Failure is an event, it's part of life's events. We fail, the righteous man who is meant to be sinless, who God should have his back, the Bible says, will fall. He falls 7 times. And then he rises again. Do you know that rising, when you really look at rising, you can only rise because you are in a lower place. How did you get to that lower place? You fell. A righteous man falls 7 times, listen, but he rises up again. So when you fail, have a redefinition. Let's redefine, let's debunk failure, the myth around failure that makes us think that something is wrong with us because we fail. Even when others use it against us, rub it in our faces, like Thomas Edison. I mean, think how cruel those teachers were. Telling a child you will not amount to anything, and then he goes on in life, and truly, life begins to throw those things back at him. So we need to change our views. We need to change our perspective about failure. Failure is part of life. Failure are events that will happen to us in life. But like the righteous man, like the just man, let's understand that we will fall, we will fail, but that's not the end. We must rise. And that's why we bring this word to us tonight. But then there's one question we always fail to ask when we fail, which is the topic of what I'm sharing with us tonight. And what is it? Why did I fail? Look at Thomas Edison. He performs an experiment and he goes to find out why did it not work. As simple as this question is so profound. Why? Because the disciples of Jesus in that Matthew 17, same story in Mark chapter 9, they came, they failed, they could not cure that son, but these disciples did something. And I want us to read it in Mark chapter 9, verse 28 account. Jesus, first of all, told them, oh, you faithless generation, how long will I be with you? Come on. He asked the man who brought the child, do you even believe yourself? The man said, look, Lord, I believe, but you know, sincerely, I don't believe. Help my unbelief. But then the disciples of Jesus did something which we don't do. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. They came to Jesus. The Bible says when they came into the house, look at the public humiliation they had heard. Look at what people will have said. Look at the confidence they too had before that would have been eroded. But they didn't stop there. They came to Jesus. The Bible says they came into the house, Mark chapter 9, verse 28, and asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? In other words, why did we fail? Many years ago, when, you know, I've been driving in my home country before I, you know, came in to live in the United Kingdom, I put in, like, and I'm not joking, about 20 years of driving experience. But then I had to exchange, I couldn't exchange my international license obtained from Nigeria for a United Kingdom driver's license. Because in Nigeria, we drove on the right side. In the United Kingdom, we drive on the wrong side. Just joking. So I was so confident that no problem. In fact, I first saw it as I felt it was an insult asking me, who has put in like almost two decades of driving experience, to go do a driving test. First of all, do the theory. And when I pass the theory, and then I'll have to do some practical lessons. And then when I do practical lessons, then I will have to drive and do the practical exam also, where I will be tested before I can be approved to drive safely on the roads in the United Kingdom. So, you know, I came with that mindset. No. But I realized, look, if you want to drive, and driving is not a luxury, you've got to go through these testings. And lo, behold, even the theory, I realized what I thought I knew, I didn't know. And I'm not joking, you know, and I'm not being funny here. I know how some, okay, don't let me go there. But I did what was right and proper from my own country. I didn't get a license through the back door, if that's what you're thinking. Right? I thank God for my late dad. He made sure I went through the theory test and I did the practical driving test in Nigeria before I could be certified a bona fide, genuine, safe driver on the roads in Nigeria. So I came from that background and that backdrop. But then, all right, so I went through the theory and I found out I didn't know what I thought I knew. So I humbled myself, went through the theory, went to do the theory, I passed. Thank God for that. I was now confident. Let's start doing the, you know, practical. So I remembered I had this driving instructor, and he told me. I remember the first thing he told me. Have you been driving before? I said, yes. How many years? I was telling him, you know, braggadociously, putting, you know. And he told me, he said, look, truly, I'm not doubting your driving experience. But over those years you've been driving, you've picked up very bad habits. And I'm just going to show you now. Said, all right, drive. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just get into the car. Let's drive. And I begin to drive. He just said, stop. You know what? You are not a safe driver. And he began to point out to me many mistakes, many unsafe practices. So, well, I humbled myself. He said, well, I've got to take you through, he told me X number, about 16 driving lessons before I will let you go to that driving test practical exam. And of course, I can't go into that without, you know, a driving instructor. So, well, we went through it. He took me through it. I was happy. And I thank God that I listened to him. But then on the day of the test, people, fear gripped me. And as we were driving to the test center, he told me, my driving instructor, and said, see, I have seen many experienced drivers like you. We've gone through all the 16 driving lessons and you seem to be okay. But I've seen many drivers like you who end up even failing. Oh, that didn't help me. That wasn't the encouragement I was looking for. That even made me more jittery. So we got to the driving test center. You know, I got inside the vehicle. My hands were shaking. Anyway, the driving examiner tried to calm me down. He was very friendly, very friendly. And he said, all right, let's go. So, you know, I did all the checks. Show me, tell me. Okay, where's this? Show us this. How do you change? Check the tires. How, okay, I told him all that. Okay, so let's go. And off we went. And we went, we were driving. And people, at the end of about 35 minutes, I drove 30, 35 minutes. I parked the vehicle. And the driving examiner said, on this occasion, you have failed. And, you know, at sort of an injury, he told me how and when I failed. I failed 5 minutes into the driving exam, practical driving exam. And he still let me drive for another 25 minutes. So this man, you're wicked. Why didn't you? He now told me, you let me keep driving. Oh, that eroded my confidence. I was sad. I was like, what am I going home to tell my wife and my children, you know? And my driving instructor, when he saw my face and my countenance, when he quickly rushed out, he said, oh no, I said it and I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay, let me just know, let's book in another test. I was so angry, I didn't want to hear anything, was talking. But then as I was going home, as I got home, I was so sad, almost on borderline depression. But then I did what the disciples of Jesus did here. I said, Lord, why did I fail? Why? I prayed. I sought the Lord. Why did I fail? And do you know what the Lord told me? The scripture comes to me and the scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be careful for nothing. And I looked at it. Why did I fail? I was very careful. The driving examiner took me on a road that was 60 miles per hour. It was rush hour in the morning. Every driver was driving crazy. They were speeding. And I was telling myself, let me show this man I am a careful driver. So what did I do? I got on the 60 miles per hour road. And I was not speeding and driving crazy like everybody. So I was going on 50. I was going on 55. I was just careful. And I was happy with myself that, yes, I'm showing this guy I'm a careful driver. And he told me, that's why you failed. You were too careful. I said, so what? He said, no, get on to the 60 miles per hour. Speed like everybody else. I brought you on this road so that you will show me you can speed. What? And drive carefully. He said, that's a dangerous fault. You are holding back traffic. Anyway, I failed because I was too careful. But how did I know? I asked, how did I fail? Tonight, as we go to the communion table, have you failed recently? Have you kept on failing? But tonight, I believe by the Spirit of God, God is highlighting something you probably have not done to ask that question, which is the topic tonight. Why did I fail? Why did I fail? The disciples came to Jesus. Why did we fail to cast this devil out and cure this boy? You know what? The mistake we can make an injustice to ourselves is to fail. Let me tell us what we do when we fail. We hide our failures. We don't want people to know we have failed. We are not open about our failures. So we cover our failures and we keep failing. The failure already has eroded your confidence, but you don't want people to know that you failed. So you keep on doing the braggado. You keep on, you know, living a life of make-believe, but deep inside you, you are dying. You are losing it. Your self-esteem is gone. Do you know the difference between when the COVID-19 happened the coronavirus, and people were dying like crazy. Now, can I ask you, did you know the coronavirus is still here with different strains? And there was even recently that the amount of infection rate was even higher than when, you know, the COVID happened before. But, you know, even psychologically, it was shown that people were dying from the fear of catching COVID than even COVID killing people. The paralysis that fear puts in, the fear of failure. What's the difference now? Infections are there. The difference is the question, how is this virus operating? How are we failing, the medical people, failing to find a cure? And through knowledge, the Bible says, shall the just be delivered. When you ask, why did I fail? And you get the knowledge of why, you don't fear to fail again. You don't even fear failure. When you fail, you go back and ask. Listen, before we go on the communion table now, I was discussing with my wife this evening as we're coming. I said, you know, the whole, you know, just fellowship with my wife and listening to the Spirit of God. That I asked my wife, that do you realize that there was a time Jesus, have you seen, did Jesus ever fail before? You know, because he was coming to me and we're just fellowshipping and I was sharing with her. Think about it. I said, has Jesus ever failed before? I said, if you can you think of a scripture? Because as I was discussing with him, this scripture were coming to me. That has Jesus ever failed before? Sorry, I like that comment by Ezekiel Urien. Can you bring it back? Can you just display it? Has Jesus ever failed before? Sometimes I'm too careful, fearful in bracket, of starting or trying it out that I fail at not starting. That's very apt. Thank you very much for sharing that. Back to Jesus. Has Jesus ever failed before? I said, I just heard something now that shows where Jesus himself failed. Hey, somebody say that's blasphemy. Jesus failed? Yes. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark and chapter 6, just the first five verses. Mark chapter 6. Let me read it to you and see where Jesus himself failed. The Bible said in Mark chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to the communion table shortly. Then he went out from there and came to his own country. And his disciples followed him. Verse 2, when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Verse number 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Where are we going? But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Verse 5, now! I felt like screaming now, speaking in other tongues, but let me control myself. He could do no mighty work there. Stop there. He could do no mighty work there. What does that mean? Jesus could not perform a miracle. Jesus failed to perform miracles. There's somewhere where we're going about this. It says, except lay his hands on a few sick folk, sick people and heal them. Stop there. Do you know what happened prior to this? You will hear the Bible say in the evening, they brought all the sick to Jesus and he healed them all. 100% success rate. But then he comes to this place and he could do no mighty work. Excuse me. Except a few. Which meant that Jesus went from 100% to about, who knows, 40%, 20% healing success. That is a failure. I said, wow. Even Jesus could do no mighty work. But do you know the beauty of this? Jesus, by the help of the Father, when you understand Jesus, Jesus was always communing with his Father. And the question of why could Jesus not do this mighty work was answered. And what was the question? Why could he not? Why can he heal just a few people? Look at verse 6. He marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus failed to record 100% success. It was a failing because of that. He knew why he failed. That's where we're going. If you and I know why we fail, the next time we will not fear to fail. We will only inquire and find out how not to fail. And do you know the solution? Look at, what's the solution to failure? Knowledge. When I know why I failed, knowledge comes, my confidence comes up, then I know how not to fail next time. But when I hide my ignorance and I don't ask that crucial question, why did I fail? I keep failing. Okay? The Bible said, what did Jesus do? This is awesome and deep. He realized the people were not allowing him succeed. They were letting him fail because of unbelief. And what's the solution to unbelief? He went about in the villages in a circle doing what? Teaching. He introduced knowledge. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. I think that is in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Why did I fail? People, let's go to the communion table. At the communion table, understanding is opened. Our ears are opened. Our knowledge, you know, the lack of knowledge opens. Do you know Jesus was breaking bread? It was when he broke bread, the Bible says their understanding were opened. I think it's somewhere in the book of Luke. Sorry, I didn't send the scripture to us. Their understanding were opened. Knowledge, people, is what helps us to deal with failure. The fear of failure. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to the communion table and we're asking that question. Why did I fail? And Lord, please open my understanding, enlighten my darkness as I come to this place of communion. Because Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. Listen, if Jesus experienced failure, who are you? Who am I? But how did Jesus overcome? Knowledge. Knowledge. Why did I fail? So people, tonight, let's go to the communion table. Let's go to the communion table. We are just simply going to pray. Some of us are experiencing failures. Do not hide your failures. Admit. Acknowledge. Don't hide. And ask that crucial question. Why did I fail? I've experienced so many failings in my life. You know, moral failings, business failings, attempt at trying something. It doesn't happen. I've learned one thing. Why did I fail? And it boosts my confidence when I know why I have failed. About the driving test, when the Lord showed me that I failed because I was too careful, the next driving test I went for, I drove like mad. I'm not joking. I went there, I couldn't care less who was sitting beside me. I drove, I sped with the car. I went to the maximum limit. I had no fear of failing anymore. It was so interesting because the next time I went to the driving test, I was told that make sure that just pray anytime you go back. There's a notorious man in that driving center. He fails people. He's very smiley. He does that. They call him the smiling assassin. The next time I went to the driving test after the first failing, but I knew why I failed. Guess who was my driving examiner? The smiling assassin. They told me his name. I asked his name before I drove the car. He told me his name. I said, hey, I'm with the smiling assassin. I don't care. Knowledge was the difference, people. Of course, I passed the driving test. The smiling assassin did not smile. Funnily enough, that morning, he wasn't smiling. I guess he was in a bad mood. Maybe he just fought with his wife or something. But glory be to God. Let's go to the communion table tonight. And we're going to just ask a question, Lord. Why did I fail? Some of us, some things are coming up to us clearly right now. Some situations, circumstances is a healing tonight. God wants to heal that fear. God wants to heal that lack of confidence some of us have grown up with. And the word you've received tonight is also redefining failure to us. It is part of life. We all fail. We all learn through failings. We are all here because somebody has failed. If you ever succeed at anything, it's because others failed. Don't ever forget that. And your own failure too, do you know, can also help somebody else succeed. It's a win-win situation, people, if we have the right attitude towards failure. All right, let's go to the communion table, 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. So get the wine, get the bread. You know, the body of Jesus was broken, battered. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All our failings God put on that body. By every stripe that was laid on him, it was the failing of man. The moral failings, the spiritual failing was laid upon Jesus. So when we break the bread, we are breaking ourselves free from that fear of failure. Jesus took it all. He's made provision for us. When we drink the blood, it cleanses us. It gives us a new slate. We can rise up again as forgiven, cleansed. Maybe you're watching tonight and something has struck in your heart. Listen, let us go to the table in remembrance of Jesus and receive life again and get ready to rise from that ashes of failure. I've received tonight, and I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Please, let's do it together. We'll just eat, we will pray, and Lord, that nagging question, you will answer us. Our understanding will be open tonight. So I read 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. So right now, people, let's take this bread. It's symbolic of the blood of Jesus. The body of Jesus. We're doing it with an understanding. All my failings was put on that body. As Jesus was battered, every failure I will ever experience was put on him. And as I break this bread tonight, please, we're breaking it in prayers. The Lord, I break the backbone of failure, the fear of failure in my life. I receive understanding of why I have failed in the past. I receive understanding, a new perspective of any time I will fail again. I know, because the body was battered, I will rise again. So the Bible said he took the bread. Listen, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's give thanks. Father, I thank you for every time I have failed. I thank you for my current failures. I thank you for my past failures. Tonight, I know that failure is part of life. Tonight I know, as a righteous man, a righteous woman, yes, I may fall, but I will rise. And in the name of Jesus, as I break this bread, I break the backbone of the fear of failure from my life. Listen, this is a healing deliverance service. In the simplicity of this word you've received tonight, give thanks. Father, I thank you for the word that you sent to every one of us tonight. We receive healing. We receive deliverance. Lord, and in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've given us power to cast out spirits. I cast out the spirit of failure. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of fear of failure. You have not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've given us the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. So every one of us, please pray right now and thank the Lord that the spirit of fear is cast out of my life, out of your life. And I thank you that I have the spirit of love, I have the spirit of power, and I have a sound mind. Please pray. Father, thank you. And as we break the bread right now, Lord, we receive breakthrough in the name of Jesus. All right, let's break it. With that understanding, say, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, as we remember everything you've done through your body, battered for us, we receive victory right now in Jesus' name. Please eat. And Father, as we eat, I thank you for showing us why. Showing me why. And show me what I ought to do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not eating this unworthily. We're eating it with understanding. Oh, thank you for liberating us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Verse 25, please, you can get the fruit juice. Just symbolic of the blood of Jesus. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do it, drink it in remembrance of me. In the same manner, which means, was the first, he gave thanks. So let's thank God that the blood of Jesus wipes our past clean. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus heals us, purifies us, gives us a new beginning. I will rise again. You will rise again. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for forgiving me all my sins, forgiving me all my failings, spiritual failings, moral failings, Lord, business failings. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to rise again. By the shedding of the blood, the Bible says there's remission of sins. And I thank you. I thank you. This is the new covenant. It's a new covenant. It's a better covenant. The Bible says, established upon better promises. I receive, Lord, the promise that in this world we will have trials, tribulations, but I should be of good cheer. I will overcome. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as we drink the blood of Jesus, we overcome the fear of failure in the name of Jesus. Please drink it. It says drink it, all of it. Let's just have a moment of prayer, a moment of reflection. Why did I fail, Lord? Why do I keep failing? Why? Thank you for showing and leading me, showing me why and what I ought to do. Jesus saw the unbelief. He went to teach. He introduced knowledge. I receive the knowledge of you, O God. I receive knowledge of you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I receive the fear of the Lord in place of the fear of failure. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. I pray for everyone tonight as we have supped together with you, as we've opened our hearts to you, I pray for that person who's crying, Lord, I want to know you. Knowledge, through the knowledge of you, reveal yourself. Let them know you and let them be liberated. He that Jesus sets free is free indeed. I prophesy to you, you are free indeed in the name of Jesus. Just ask the Lord Jesus come into my heart. I confess all my sins. Today, make me your child, a child of God. As many as received him, the Bible says, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Father, I pray for families. I pray for that person who is afraid to try again. Thank you for showing them why they failed. And thank you for showing them why they should try again. And thank you for showing them the success that awaits them. In the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory tonight. Blessed be your holy name. We bless all our hearts, bless all our families, bless the work of our hands. As you have promised, everything we lay our hands upon, cause it to prosper. In Jesus' name. Amen.